just read through Mark's Gospel. No commentaries or anything like that, just read through it. As I've recommended many times, for that to be done, that's a helpful thing. Just get a Gospel, read it end to end. It took me a few sit-ins, but Mark's Gospel is just so readable as a narrative, and it gave me a fresh insight again into Jesus. I imagine myself being in the crowd, listening to him. I imagine being on the receiving end of what he was saying and what he was doing, and understanding some of the confusion some people had, and some of the reactions they had, strong reactions to him. See, Jesus was a leader. Jesus was an influencer. People looked to him because, well, first of all, he was higher status than many of them. He was considered rabbi, teacher, carried a lot of clout where in his communities. People looked at him as the man to go to. He was obviously had something. So he was not just status, but he was their leader. He led the disciples. He led all those who wanted to come to him, and he led them. He was their leader. What sort of a leader was he, though? You might wonder, what relevance does that have to me? It's because you, in your different circumstances, you also have some status. You might have status within your family and an influence which is greater than the influence of others. You might have more power than others in your workplace. You'll have people who look up to you. You'll have plenty of people who look down on you, but you have people who look up to you as maybe not a leader, but certainly someone with a little more status or experience, people in your community who look to you. So what sort of person are you in that role? Well, we're going to look at Jesus first. We're going to look at what Jesus was like as a leader. What does a good leader need? Well, we could have the PowerPoint up, please, Jack. Amongst the many things that you're doing at the back there. And hopefully not juggling, because you're meant to be missing. You can't juggle and put this up. Is it going to get up there? Good. It's happening. Good. Right. Lovely. We're going to think then about what's needed to be a leader. First thing you need is you need success. Our favorite person, Elon Musk, he certainly wants to be our favorite person. And behind him is a little bit of rocketry because he wants to show that he's successful, not just as a businessman, not just as someone who makes obscene amounts of money, but he can spend that money by putting rockets into space. So he wants to be seen as Mr. Success. Or how about you want to be shown to have power? Okay, so there's Vladimir Putin with Kim Jong-un getting together to show the world that they have a great deal of power. Whether it be nuclear or military, whatever it might be. Men of power. If you're going to be a great leader, you've got to show you've got power. You've also got to show that you've got charisma. People love charisma. And people will vote people in just because they've got a bit of a presence. Just because they can turn up at meetings and entertain everyone, tell a few jokes, or be someone who comes out with things that are so bizarre, the media are always interested. Just fun to follow these two particular characters at the front here were always billed as people with a charisma, something special that drew people to them. They were not boring. Oh, wow. We don't like boring leaders, do we? So all those things, put them together. But what do you look for in a great leader? What do you look for as someone who attracts you? Someone who say, yeah, I'll go along with that. I'll follow them. I'll support them in their role of leadership. And therefore you, in your role of influencing, what sort of person do you want to be like? Well, Jesus is our model leader. And we're going to look to him. And we're going to look at three aspects of his leadership. First thing is, he was... That's not good. Come on, let's go back. Right. First of all, he was Yeah, let's look at that one. He was a crowd puller. Now, it's quite easy to pull in a crowd. There were 4,000 people turned up for the Moonies wedding ceremony in South Korea. These are, if you want to join the Moonies, they're not quite so popular in this country as they were, but I remember Moonies being on the streets of our local town in Purley and speaking to them and trying to tell them about the Christian faith and them trying to make me into a Moonie, following Song Young Moon. If you're a Moonie, they'll arrange the marriage for you. And you'll go to the wedding ceremony, you'll be paired up with someone, and that's it. You're together. Wow. 4,000 people at one of their ceremonies. That's a regular thing. Can you imagine it? How about Ed Sheeran? 100,000 people at Hockenheimring. How about that? What a... all just to hear him sing. Over 1 million people in 2023 for Pope Francis in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Big crowds, easy to get a crowd together for all sorts of things. Not a problem for Jesus. Let's hear about Jesus meeting with a crowd and gathering a crowd and them all chasing after him. Sue's going to come and bring us our reading.
The reading is from John chapter 6, verses 22 to 30. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" Amen.
So, Jesus, our model leader. He was a crowd puller. Important thing if you're going to be a really popular, well-known leader. The Bible is full of crowds following Jesus, and they would go after him. But he didn't seem to really encourage the crowds to do that. I mean, this crowd, in that reading, he didn't exactly welcome them that time, did he? It was a case of, why are you here? And he wanted to unpick what their motives were. You just liked it last time because you got a free meal. And it's all, yeah, that's why we're here this time. You're here to see a miracle, aren't you? Well, yeah, it's nice. We like a miracle. And the crowds are coming for all sorts of dubious reasons around him. Crowds are fickle. But Jesus was able to be a crowd puller and gather people around him. Couldn't keep them away. Also, though, Jesus couldn't be tied down. There's a number of A-listers, and if we wanted one of them to come and visit us here and speak to us or perform for us here at KCBC, we could wait 1 million years. Their diaries are absolutely packed, and they are very expensive. Some of them, I mean, really, they're just actresses, aren't they? I mean, they just act. Centuries ago, it was one of the lowest professions you could have. Now one of the highest and the highest paid. But they're A-listers. You're never going to get them along. They are too important for most occasions. But Jesus, well, he wouldn't be tied down. You couldn't tie him down. He was unorganizable, and you couldn't restrict him by our models of how you ought to be scheduled. You couldn't be his personal assistant and take care of his diary. It just didn't work. He stayed at wedding feasts that lasted for days on end. He was distracted by a crippled person who was waiting for a superstitious healing, had time for him to talk to him and to steer him in a different direction. He was late for Jairus' daughter's healing, going along to help her. Why? Because a woman had touched his cloak and she got healed as well. And he didn't mind about that. He just stopped and dealt with that. He was late for Lazarus. He was there to heal Lazarus, and he was late, and therefore had to resuscitate him instead of healing him. He was dreadful for organizing strategic meals with people, which were the currency of business meetings. And he would go to people like Simon, who was a Pharisee, who was meant to be on the other side opposing him. And he was happy to do that. He was happy to have a meal with Zacchaeus as well. That wouldn't have been put on the diary by anyone who was trying to organize him. He even gave time to a Roman centurion who came to him and badgered him for his attention. He was so uncontrolled that he got a reputation. He healed on the Sabbath. Again, that's not on the diary. There's a time and a place for that, and it wasn't on the Sabbath. And when he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he couldn't and wouldn't keep the crowds under control. They're all shouting out these things in praise to God, and he was meant to keep them quiet, and he didn't, and he wouldn't. You couldn't control Jesus. He's a model leader. He's distinct in the way he leads. And didn't matter who you were, the powerless carried the same significance as the powerful. He didn't distinguish. And that prompted Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Christian martyr from the Second World War. But he wrote this: Jesus is the man for others. Don't try to organize him. You'll never do it. People liked being with him. Our crowd, that reader we had earlier on, crowd by the lake, they loved being with him. Okay, they had pretty mixed motives, didn't they? They liked a healing show. In fact, that would happen nowadays. You get huge crowds for someone. If they could do healings, they could pray for someone and they were healed. But nonetheless, they love being with Jesus. But for us as a church, how do we take this? Because this is something we can put into practice. And that is, when we look at people, status is not a bar to us spending time with them. Now, status can be as simple as popularity within a group. I like to be with them because they like me, I like them. As for them, don't know much about it. Not my sort of people. They're different. My opinion, they're not as good, we might say. Status shouldn't be a bar to our giving to others, no matter who we are. A well-known singer from Dana from Ireland, she won the Eurovision Song Contest when she was a very young woman. And so she was quite famous and quite well known in this country and throughout Europe, and very popular, and a very pretty young lady, I may say, as well. She came to our church. She came to Purley Baptist for an evening's concert and entertainment after our evening worship service. And there are a few hundred people came along to hear her. Afterwards, when she'd finished, she's getting ready to go home, collecting her coat. To collect her coat, she had to go underneath to the basement, to the cellar that was there where the cloakroom was, and it was pretty gloomy there. And it was there that she found herself alone with a young 18-year-old man, and a pretty awkward situation to many. And there's here, she's the star, and he's just one of the youth group. That person was me, alone with this rather pretty woman. And she shouldn't really have said anything to me. She should have grabbed her coat and ran. And instead, she stopped, gave me time, asked about me, what I did, and what I did in the church, and able to give her a little bit about my story, and chatting away in a relaxed manner. Status, the difference in status was huge. She was pretty. I was pretty unpretty. I was the ugly one. And it was, nonetheless, she gave me her time until a voice came from up the stairs, her minder, calling to her, "Oi, come up here, shouldn't be down there. Come on, come on, we've got to go." And he stopped it and closed it down. But that's the sort of thing we can express in our Christian life, where our status does not bar us from treating another person well. So Jesus, he was unorganizable. You couldn't tell him who to talk to, who not to talk to. Let's pull that back. Right. Another area where Jesus, his leadership was marked as different, was in his emotions and the way his emotions came across. My emotions were clearly not in check and not being used properly when I was in a classroom that got completely out of control and I shouted out to them, "Calm down, everyone!" And I absolutely lost it with them. Not under control. For Jesus, his emotions were under control. Under control for many of us means in a very manly way. We're very stoic. Nothing phases us. In previous generations, if people wanted emotions in a spiritual leader, they looked to the Blessed Virgin Mary. They looked to her for the emotional one. And so many women saw her as their model of how to be. But for men, it will be Jesus with an unmoved face. What was he really like in his emotional connection? Let's have a look at what the Bible says. We read that Jesus landed, saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. He was meant to move on and get on with what he was doing. Jesus showed that he could be, if necessary, impulsive. Another time, he was utterly determined. Time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So he could show determination. There we are. We read in Matthew's gospel, "They'll be ever hearing but never understanding. They'll be ever seeing but never perceiving." He said of people who were coming after him and who were not following properly. He could be angry. He could be impatient with people. Oh, and he could be patient as well. Talk to Nicodemus. "You're one of Israel's teachers," said Jesus, "and you don't understand these things." And he spent time helping him to understand. He's patient despite everything. And Jesus could also just be effusive, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. He started saying good things about the kingdom of God coming with his disciples' help. So he was exuberant at their success. They could pray for healing and things happened. Oh, and he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it. He knew what was coming and he knew what was in their hearts. He could show grief and weeping as well. He's our model leader. He's our model leader and shows that when it comes to emotions, he was emotionally complete. What we might now call emotional intelligence. He was very high on emotional intelligence. That idea of a stoic Jesus, our leader and our model. Utterly unmoved, is actually false. He was complete with his emotions. It's worth recognizing that our emotions tend to have priority over our reasoning when we make choices and make decisions. I know that you're a thinking person, and I know that everything you do is determined by careful thinking. Yes? Except the reality is, it's our emotions that tend to set the agenda for us. So when you lead, when you're in a position of influence, when your status is being looked to as higher than others and people are looking to you for a lead and an example, bring your emotions under rein and proper control. In other words, show meekness. Harnessed emotions. So as your emotions are harnessed in the right way, as Jesus did, you can give a good response. Just like Jesus. The right emotion for the right time. Not like me. Berserk emotions in front of the class when I should have been a model of calm. So Jesus, who is our model leader. Crowd puller, we can't be a crowd puller, and we don't need to be a crowd puller, but we can in the way that we respond to others. We have to give time to them, give our energy to them, whoever they are, and not be tied down by maybe the rules of society, which would lead us to do other things. We can be more emotionally complete and be okay with that. Be okay with how you feel. Try to make sure that the feelings are right and appropriate for the occasions. Be comfortable with them because Jesus was emotionally complete. So, what can we take away from that? I think it's helpful for us to be able to recognize a good leader. In a democracy, we are called to do that. I do think it is part of our responsibility as citizens and as Christians, to be able to recognize and where we get the opportunity to choose and select the right leader. Look for the qualities, match it up to how Jesus did it. Don't be fooled when fakes come along. I think we can also recognize that there have been, when we've had some status, when we've had some responsibility, even in leadership, and in your workplace and in your family, hasn't always gone brilliantly. And it's a good opportunity to check in with Jesus. To say, Lord, I recognize that. I got that wrong. Forgive me. Can we now move on? And where you do have influence. Any ways you can copy Jesus? Husband, wife, father, mother, grandparent, whatever it might be, can you copy Jesus? How can you do it? How can you emulate him? Let's look to do that over the coming week as we seek to follow him in our situation where we are tomorrow and for the rest of the days of the week.